All right, well, let's get to the message now. And I do believe this is a word of the Lord and a prophetic word for us and for our nation on this July 4th weekend. This has been something that has been rolling around in my spirit for probably several weeks now. This phrase, who's the adults or where are the adults in the room? Where are the adults in the room? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. And it says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you who? Righteous, for praise from the who? Upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. That's what we did today, amen. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his what? Mouth. This is going to be an important word in a little bit. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Not just let the church stand in awe of him. Let the righteous stand in awe of him. It says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, we come to you today as the Almighty One, as the one who rules over all, who spoke this very world we live on into existence, who spoke our lives into existence. We come to you today and we ask you to speak to us. You, the word of the Lord, speak to us today. Lord, you put something on my heart and I pray that I would function prophetically today and speak accurately what you have placed on my heart. Help us to hear, open our ears to hear. And I pray for all those watching and I pray that this even spreads throughout social media and that this word would go forth even to the nation as we as Port Huron have a statement to make to this nation. And so we commit this to you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I depart from our series on Romans today on this holiday weekend to speak prophetically regarding our nation. And it, like I said, it's something that's been on my heart for several weeks now. And this word is this, it's time for the adults in the room to rise up. It's time for the adults in the room to stand. One guy said, my wife accused me of not being the adult that I need to be. Well, I sat down my action figures and I pointed to the door and I said, get out of my secret pillow fort. You know, we have too many adults that are acting like children. Too many adults don't want to grow up. We have a culture of people that don't want to grow up. Now, I'm going to sound very judgmental. I'm going to sound very strong, but I want you to understand. I don't think I'm better than anybody else, and my motive is love and the word of the Lord. But sometimes, you know, the other day I was driving, and I see this adult. An adult male with pants hanging halfway down his legs, with hat backwards, the whole shot, an adult. And I'm like, grow up! Grow up! Where are the adults in the room? We live in a culture, though, where those in power think they're so mature. They think they are the ones that are right, and we, you lowly believers and stuff, you silly superstitions, we know what's best for you. But they act like children. You can't offend them. Where are the adults in the room? This phrase run around in my spirit, and I'm like, it comes from somewhere. It's got to come from somewhere. And find out it is indeed an idiom that is in our language. And I looked it up, and the New Word Suggestion website says that the adult in the room, or the adults in the room, mean the mature and intelligent people in a given situation. The Macmillan Dictionary says it's used for saying that someone is behaving in a mature and responsible way while most others are not. You're the adult in the room. Everybody's acting immaturely, but you are being the adult in the room. And in the Jargonism Dictionary, it says a person who makes calculated, rational decisions based on all available data. I want you to notice that. Calculated rational decisions based on all available data. And they give an example. It's an example. Everyone is thinking with emotion, but Jim is the only adult in the room. Okay? And that's what tells you what this word, this concept, being the adult in the room means. I actually had to get some training in the topic of emotional intelligence. Have any of you had to go through that or anything at work? Yeah, emotional intelligence, and that was one of the things that I was supposed to teach the businesses in the city, where someone is acting not out of just emotion, but they're thinking clearly over things, and they're expressing emotion in the proper way. But today, again, I'm going to say some very strong things. Again, please know that I say them out of love, and that I don't hate anyone except the devil, and I don't think myself to be superior to anybody, but I will be the adult in the room and say what needs to be said. We have a culture that judges everything by emotion. It's all about feelings. It's all about, I'm a hockey fan. Watch the Stanley Cup. My worst favorite team wins it all this year. Colorado. Yuck. So anyway, they ask everybody, how are you feeling? They just won a Super Bowl. What are you feeling right now? It's all about feelings. Someone wins a political campaign. They win an election. And the reporter goes, what are you feeling right now? How do you feel? Everybody, it's all about feelings. We have a culture that judges everything by emotion, feelings. Feelings are the guide and the most important thing in life for so many. If you, as an adult, feel sexually attracted to a child, our culture says you have a right to express those feelings. Now, some of you say, wait, no, that's not true. It's not far away. It's not far away, and I'm already hearing it. Already hearing it. And just look at what our culture does to children, how children are targeted by everything, sexual, etc. This past school year in one of our area high schools right here, a girl walked into a boy's bathroom because she felt like it. The boys reported it, went to the principal's office and reported it. The boys were suspended from school. The boys were. At the school board meeting, thankfully, pastors and parents rose up and spoke up, but the school officials remained silent. Where were the adults on the school board? Where were the adults in the room? Today, girls' and boys' bathrooms, absolutely irrelevant in Marysville Public Schools. Anybody can go where they want to go. because you are whatever you feel. Where are the adults in the room? Again, this is strong, but I have to say it. What I fear has happened is that parents, people who are parents today, grew up with parents who were afraid of them. So a lot of the people who are parents today grew up with parents who were afraid of them, who were afraid to hurt their feelings and let them do whatever they wanted to do. You hear this thing about parents wanting to be the best friend of their kids. No, you're their parent, not their best friend. But what has happened is people have grown up with that, and so now they feel entitled to whatever they feel because their parents did not stand for righteousness. Feelings are everything. You are what you feel. No, you're not. You're not what you feel. Because feelings are fickle. They change. Have a bad pizza and your feelings change really quick. Verse 4, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." There is truth. There is objective truth. And watch this. He loves righteousness and justice. And that means justice for everybody, not for this group at the expense of that group. He loves righteousness and justice. "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, this is important because this tells us that there is an objective reality brought about by God's word. The universe was created and operates by God's word. And so, when you function contrary to God's word, chaos is the result. And things break down and they don't work anymore. So, this tells us the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I mean, when he created it, when everything he spoke is good. But when we go contrary to that, it goes bad for us. And it goes on, it says, verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." We need to have a fear of the Lord again. There's no fear of the Lord. People mock God publicly anymore. Celebrities that are trying to tell us that we're wrong, and they just mock the Lord, etc. "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing." They are fighting against God. Psalm 2 says they want to break off the chains, any chains. They don't want God telling them to do anything. They want to be in charge. "But the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever," etc. "And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Here's what I hear the Lord saying. It's time to speak. You notice how much about God speaking, about commanding, etc. It's time for the people of God to speak. It's time for us to be the adults in the room. We have a childish culture. They think they're smart, but they're childish. And we need to stand up and speak the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you in a minute why we don't like to do that, for one, but I'll tell you why we need to do it. Many of the prophets that I consider real modern-day prophets are saying that we are in the decade of pay. Now, the Hebrew numbering system, they don't have separate numbers. They use letters for their numbers, kind of like Roman numerals, right? Roman numerals has I's and V's and D, C, X. They're letters, but that's how they number things. Hebrew is the same way. So in the year, what the year is now, and somehow, and I don't even understand it all, but again, scholars and prophetic people that I trust have pointed out that this is the decade of pay. that this year on the Hebrew calendar indicates a decade of pay. Now, what is pay? P-E, P-E-H, in some cases P-E-Y, different ways it's spelled. But the decade of pay, well, Hebrew letters are not just, you know, some symbol that's put together randomly, but they have a source. They actually picture something. You'll find this in Chinese lettering. In fact, the Chinese language is fascinating. Like the word for flood, or the Chinese character for flood, if you break it down, it literally means eight men in a boat, or eight people in a boat. Flood. Get it? The ark. Noah's ark. So the Hebrew has, it's a picture, the letter's a picture, and the word, or the letter pay, meaning mouth, in the way that it speaks, not eats. So the word pay speaks of speaking. And so being in the decade of pay, what the prophets are saying is we're coming into a decade of speaking and of decreeing and declaring things. Isn't it interesting? And I didn't even know this until after it happened, that here God calls me to do this Port Huron restatement, to put together a statement to speak forth to our nation from this city, that it's in the decade of pay. That this word came, this command, this directive that God gave me came at the beginning of the decade of pay. This is our role as adults in the room. Now, let me show you from Scripture somewhere else that tells us that we are to speak to our culture. And this the understanding of the Scripture came to me when I heard the great teacher Jack Hayford. Years and years ago, he was speaking at a conference that I was in, and he forgot his notes. So he shows up at the conference, and he didn't have his notes, but he just said, well, this is what I was going to preach on. And just out of the wealth of his own experience and memory and ministry, he preached this word that totally transformed my mind on the topic of spiritual warfare. A lot of us have a certain perspective of spiritual warfare, and we use certain scriptures about spiritual warfare, but I don't know if we get the full understanding of it. And one of the scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now watch this. Now I, Paul, myself, am what? Pleading with you. But watch this. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. We need to speak up, but we need to do it humbly and lovingly and gently. I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. They were accusing him. They said, you write these letters that are so bold and rebuking us, but when you're around us, you're all humble and all, you know, meek. It's kind of like me with you guys a lot of times. I'm not a confrontative person. That's not my nature. I'm not an argumentative person. I don't like arguing. I don't like debating. I'm lazy or something. I don't know. But I just don't like doing it. But when I'm with Gene and I'm watching the news, I am very bold. And I speak boldly. Well, Paul says, well, okay, that may be true, but I beg you, verse 2, I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what many of us think of pulling down strongholds is this. In the name of Jesus, we pull down the stronghold of abortion. We pull down the stronghold of pornography. Okay, there's an element of that. But here's what Paul's really talking about. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down what? arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What real spiritual warfare is coming against arguments? Arguments that say you came out of a puddle of mud, a little amoeba cell that grew some fins and began to swim in the ocean, and decades and centuries later it grew a couple legs and walked out on the land, and then it grew some arms, and there you are. And it's a whole big argument. It's built up with all this evidence. But the foundation is false. Of the big argument, they build up a big argument, and it's the argument that impresses people, and they don't look at the foundations. I was a lowly biology student at the University of Michigan. I think I was a sophomore that year. Just a lowly student. And we were studying radiocarbon dating. You know, it tells you that this bone is from 600,000 years ago. You know, this bone was found, it's 40,000 years old. And I'm looking at this formula, and there's a constant in it, and the constant is the radioactive level of the Earth atmosphere. And so I raised my hand, I asked the professor, I said, are we sure that's constant? I mean, couldn't there be like a sunspot and our radiation level change on the Earth? He got mad at me. He did not answer my question. He just got angry at me because it's this big, big argument they built up based on a false premise. So we as God's people, we have the foundations, which is the Word of God, the Bible, truth. And these are the things we make a stand on, and we come against arguments. And this is where we speak. We have to speak out against arguments. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're smarter than God. There's a lot of people that think they're smarter than God. No, we have to come. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We got to make a stand. We got to stand up. We can't be intimidated. We have to say, no, whatever you're thinking there, you got to bring that under the obedience of Christ, who died for you on a cross and paid for your sins, who rose again from the dead for you. We have to speak. We may not even know how to argue something fully, but we need to make a stand for the Word of God and be the adults in the room and know what's right. Because you know what? They know what's right. People know what's right. But like little children, they fight. They're testing the borders. They're fighting. They're struggling, etc. But we need to speak. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Punishing. Now you can go to jail for punishing your kids. Now I'm not saying I'm not saying abuse your kids or something or be violent or whatever. But there are things that parents have to do to make sure their kids are walking in the right path. When your kid is reaching for the little nice red glowing thing on the stove, you slap that hand so that they don't burn their finger off, right? So we have to be the adults in the room. And you know what? Being the adult in the room, you'll be hated for it. You'll be hated for it. Just like when you tell your teenager, no, you're not. You're coming, you're home at 11. I am not. I hate you. Sneak out anyway at night. They do this at dinner and, you know, the whole shot. But you got to be the adult in the room. Okay? Intimidation. This is one of the greatest weapons of the devil right now. He's trying to intimidate you as a Christian and as a believer to think that you have nothing to say and you have no right to say whatever it is you want to say. It's an intimidation thing. They say you're judgmental, you're offensive. Hey, they're speaking. Wait a minute. They're speaking. They're calling you offensive. They're calling you judgmental. Why do they get to say those things? And that your faith is foolish and what you believe is wrong. Why do they get to say that? But you're convinced, oh, I better not say anything. Notice that in Marysville, they didn't consider the feelings of the boys. But Pastor Jim and Pastor Ben and the others that showed up at that meeting, when they spoke to the board, they said, okay, you want to consider the feelings of this girl, then you have to consider the feelings of these boys. You have to consider the feelings of Christian boys and Christian girls who are not comfortable with those of the opposite sex being in their bathrooms and in their locker rooms. You need to silence. Silence. But they spoke up, and they need to speak up, and this is not over. There's this kind of this peer pressure, like a childlike peer pressure that's forced upon us. They speak out of emotion. We speak out of eternal principles. We have to understand that. So yes, you will be hated. You will be seen as judgmental and one-sided, etc. And we can't stand the thought of that. But I've noticed something. When I do not bow, when I do not accept being intimidated, when I'm the adult in the room, eventually the child backs down. Because I'm the adult in the room. I'll never forget one situation in our church, one of our churches. We had this young man who just kind of flaked out. And we ended up noticing that someone was got in the church somehow at night and was eating in the office or was hanging around the church. And we realized it was this one young man. And so we confronted him about it. He's like, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. You're judging me. But one day, a bunch of money was missing. An offering that was taken for the youth group or something, and it was missing. And so I know he took it. So I brought him in my office, and I said, give me the money back and stop going in the room. He said, I didn't take any money. You're judging me. How do you know I took the money? Give me the money back. No, I didn't do it. He got really angry. I didn't do it. I said, give me the money back right now. All right. There are things, people came to me, one church in particular. Man, just the craziness. Would sit down with me and tell me, Pastor, you're preaching about signs and wonders all the time. That's of the devil. Signs and wonders are of the devil? That's of the devil. You need to stop preaching about signs and wonders or we're going to leave. I have to preach the Bible. Pastor, we're not flowing with your vision. Okay. Praise God. No. We're not flowing with your vision. Okay. I understand. Not everybody's going to, this church is not for everybody. No, Pastor, you're not flowing with our vision. Yeah, I understand. I'll pray, Lord, just guide this couple to the church that you have for them. I could tell you story after story. People in interpersonal conflicts, I call them into my office. I'd say, listen, and gently, I'm not talking about being mean or nasty, humbly, gently, lovingly. You can't talk that way to the associate pastor's wife. Well, I've seen you. Wait, we're not talking about me. You can't talk that way about so-and-so. And you need to go to them and apologize. And just lovingly, this is what you need to do because this isn't right. They leave. I had to be the adult in the room. But Watch this. Years later, I'll be at a funeral or some event, and one of those people comes to me and says, "Pastor Joe, we're really sorry. We're sorry. We were dumb." And that has happened so many times. You need to be the adult in the room. Just like my daughter who couldn't wait to get out of our house. As soon as she turned 18, she could not wait to get out of the house. And she got out. No rules. I don't want your rules. It was less than a year later, she came to us and said, "Mom and Dad, I have no idea how lucky I was to grow up under you. I have no idea how lucky. I see what's happening to my friends' moms and dads and what's happening with their lives and how messed up they are." You've got to be the adult in the room. Amen? Just a few more scriptures and I'll close. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We want to, again, speak the truth, but speak it in love. 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature." And I want to close with this scripture, which is very powerful. 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, "Flee also your feelings." What are youthful lusts? Feelings. "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes." Okay, we don't want to get into foolishness and fight over things that don't really matter. Amen? When I'm talking about being the adult in the room, I'm talking about not arguing whether Tampa Bay should have won the Stanley Cup or Colorado. Both of them are horrible. I can't stand them. But anyway, you don't argue those things, okay? "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle to all, able to teach." Patient. Able to teach. I used to be a Facebook ranter. So I'd get on, something happens out there in the media or whatever, and man, I would blow up. I would be so sarcastic, and I still sometimes do it, okay. But I'll do something really sarcastic and just nasty. I just want to get at somebody or something or some, you know. But I've changed after reading this once, and I said, okay, I got to change my mode of operation here and instead teach. And so when something angers me in the media and I have to address it, I'm not like cutting that person down, cutting everybody who agrees with that person. This is why this is wrong. And just gently and logically and rationally just speak. Okay, be the adult in the room. So, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If anybody tells you we're not supposed to be correcting people, no, correct things. Be the adult in the room. But again, in love, in humility. And here's the key. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, that's the goal. That's what we want to see, for God to grant repentance to them. I was a sinner. I was living a life of sin. Somebody spoke the truth. I argued with them all night. We were on a work crew. I was telling them the stuff that I had every right to do. And even I could believe in God. I could still do this and I could still do that. I said, "No, you can't." "Yeah, I can." "No, you can't." "I can too." And basically, driving home that night, and I'm like, everything he said is right. knelt down and accepted Jesus into my life. Never been the same ever since. And God granted me repentance. And I actually turned from all those things that I said I had the right to do. And that they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, two things. If I had not been granted repentance, if somebody did not speak truth into my life, if somebody was not the adult in the room, I would either, well, have lived the most boring life anybody could live, or I would have been dead from my crazy lifestyle. But instead, God granted me repentance. I escaped the snare of the devil, and I lived a life I never could have written for myself. I never could have written the life that I have had, the experiences I've had, the places I've been, the people I've met, the ministry opportunities I've had. Never could have imagined these things. And I live on a canal. Thanks to God. Hallelujah. Acts 2, and with many other words, after this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter said, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them. With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Those of you online, I pray you spread this, share this message. Be saved from this perverse generation. And stand up, believers, and be the adults in the room. Last week I had a meeting, a sectional meeting, and I decided to take a prayer drive. I was out in Lapeer, and I just took my time home praying and such. Pastor Brent, my successor at Dearborn Heights, called me the other day. He said, I was cleaning up my phone, and I found the message by Corey Robinson, a message he preached. And I want to talk to you about this. And I'm like, what message? The message? He said, yeah. The message. The one morning and evening prayer that I've been telling you guys about. The one about mining for silver and gold. That message? Yeah, that message. 10 years ago. He found it. I said, Brett, send it to me. And so I listened to that as I was driving about. And then I found Steve Hansen's prophetic word from our Port Huron prayer rumble back a couple weeks ago. Steve Hansen, when he prophesied, brought that great illustration, this timepiece, said, it is time, it is time. He said, it is time for gatherings. It is time for gatherings. Over and over and over again, he says, time for gatherings. And one of the things he said is, I see a gathering for repentance. And I had the craziest, most insane idea I've ever had. But I'm seriously thinking about posting all over the place, advertising, getting word out, not to just you or the church world, but to Port Huron, and saying, we're going to have a gathering of repentance. If you want to repent of your sins, come this day, this time, etc. Now, my immediate thought is that nobody's going to come. Church people won't even come to that. But then as I see this in my spirit, I see humble, broken people that say, I need that, and could fill this place up. What I'm saying is the prophetic voice needs to be restored in America. True prophetic voice, the kind of voice that gets Jeremiah thrown into a pit. We need a true prophetic voice like the one that caused Elijah to be chased by armies. A true prophetic voice like the one that caused Jesus to be nailed on a cross. The kind not like today's wimpy, man-pleasing prophecies. Words are important. You can come, Jessica. And our psalm told us that the worlds were created by and are maintained by God's word. There are arguments that must be made. we need to be the adults in the room. Would you stand and lift up your hands right now and just ask the Lord to give you a fresh boldness and a love. Paul spoke to Timothy and said, God did not give you a spirit of timidity, of intimidation, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we come to you right now and we receive the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind to be the adults in the room. God, I pray that you would fill us up with so much love, Lord God, that even when we rebuke somebody gently and carefully and lovingly, they'll see the love in our eyes and would be brought to their knees before you. Oh God, we ask you, anoint us, help us to be the adults in the room, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We pray for America. We pray for the church to arise in America and speak the truth boldly, to confront evil and sin, Lord God. Yes, lovingly and gently, but to be bold and direct and clear. Oh God, help us today, we pray.
Holy, you alone are holy.
Real simple. You alone are
holy. You alone are holy. Holy, you alone are holy. You alone are holy. You alone are holy.
Again, you are holy.
Holy, you alone are holy.
You
alone are holy.
You
alone are holy.
Kadosh, which means holy.
Kadosh. Kadosh. Kadosh.
Kadosh.
Kadosh.
Kadosh.
Kadosh. Kadosh. Kadosh. Kadosh. Kadosh.
Yes, Lord, you are holy. You are holy and you want your word to go forth, your ways to go forth. Lord, in this Port Huron restatement, we are given things that directly confront the lies that have been put out by the enemy. Lord, help us to speak up. Help us to be a voice for you, for the sake of the lost, that perhaps you would grant them repentance. And if you're watching today or you're here in this room and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, yes, you have to turn from your sins. But something happens when you do that. He changes you. I changed overnight. One night I'm a party animal arguing with a guy who's sharing the gospel with me. And then I asked Jesus into my life, and the next thing you know, I'm on the greatest adventure I could have ever gone on. And my desires and everything changed, and he'll do that for you. And if you're watching or you're here and you need to ask Jesus into your life, just say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I know I've done wrong. I know I've offended you. But Lord, forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I believe you rose again and you're alive and that you'll come into my heart and I make you my Lord. If you've never done that, do that. And let us know about it. Text us. Send something on the comment line. And if you're here today, tell somebody. Come, tell me that I can just pray with you for a moment and agree with you. That God's going to put you on a great adventure. I want to just invite you as we sing this song for some of you to come and spend a few moments at the altar and just say, God, fill me with that boldness. Fill me with that power, love, and the sound mind. Lord, help me to be the adult in the room. Lord, break every spirit of intimidation off of me. Help me to walk in your boldness let me be that adult in the room. Would you come to the altars as we sing this?
Oh, holy, you alone are holy. You alone are holy.
Just come.
You alone are holy.
Ask Him to break that intimidation off of you.
Holy.
Ask Him to give you
discernment,
to be able to know the arguments, the falseness of the
argument. You alone are holy.